Welcome back. It's another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, with producer Nate Vaughn, coming to you from Twin Cities Orthopedics Studio at Winter Park. The studio gets a new name, same namesake as the team's new practice facility coming soon in 2018. But the studio gets a new name now. TCO Studios, we're going to call it. And that's where we are, ready to talk to you about the preseason so far and what lies ahead for your favorite football team, the Minnesota Vikings. Two preseason games down and two to go. The Vikings 2-0 in the preseason. It's what they do. They win in the preseason under Mike Zimmer. 10-1 in 11 preseason games under your current head coach, trying to build a winning culture here in Minnesota. He's done a good job of that so far. Coming up for the Vikings is the home opener at U.S. Bank Stadium. It is a preseason game, but it's still the first game to be played at U.S. Bank Stadium. It will be against the San Diego Chargers on Sunday at noon. We have lots to get to, though, before we get to that game. We're going to talk about what we've seen from the Vikings so far through training camp and two preseason games. Nate is here to talk us through it as well. And we've seen a lot, Nate, right? I mean, young players stepping up, veterans holding their own, two exciting games in the preseason, 2 days of practices in Cincinnati. There's been a lot to digest.
Yeah, and let's start there in Cincinnati. I mean, that's a new thing that you don't do every training camp, especially here. It's been a while since the practices against the Chiefs in River Falls. So it was a cool thing to be a part of, and I would assume that Coach Zimmer and the Vikings think it was a worthy cause too.
I think so. I think whenever you have a positive experience in the game, you look back on other things you did that week and say, well, that worked well. Case in point, I believe, would be the Vikings experience in London in 2013. There was, you know, discussion about what do you do if you're playing in London? Do you go on the Monday before a Sunday game and stay there all week and practice and all that? Or do you do what this, and that's what the Vikings did, or do you do what the Steelers did? The Steelers came, I believe, on Thursday night, got there on Friday, and then left right after the game on Sunday. So like two different approaches, and I think you win that game, and it's like, well, we're glad we stayed there for the week. But had you lost the game, you'd be saying, maybe we should do what the Steelers did. So anyway, I hope that Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman felt it was a productive experience because I enjoyed it. And you know, spending a few days in Cincinnati, getting to know the Bengals team a little bit more, seeing a city that we don't ordinarily see, all that was pretty cool. Speaking of the Bengals and their team, that's an impressive-looking bunch, especially on defense.
Yeah, well, I mean, you start up front, and you've got, you know, three names that almost every football fan knows. You've got Geno Atkins, Domana. You have to tell me how to... I know the name, but you have to tell me how to say it.
I say Domada Peko, but then Brian Baldinger, whom we interviewed,
right,
he said Domata.
Domata. So that guy,
yes,
and Carlos Dunlap, right, there's three names right there that are going to give the Vikings offensive line a handful for two straight days.
And they did. Vontaze Burfict was good. Ray Maluaga was good. You have Dre Kirkpatrick. George Iloka is a nice safety that they have. So, I mean, you know, the list goes on. Very impressive team. Really good work for the Vikings to go against them for 2 days and then play a game against them, particularly the first practice, which happened on Wednesday. It was a padded practice. It was very physical. Lots to watch. I almost felt overstimulated standing on the sidelines, keeping my head on a swivel trying to watch everything. So that was really good. As for the game, what I remember taking away from that was Teddy and the first team offense did not have a great first series, but they bounced back with a 96-yard touchdown drive in their second series, which was capped off by a 49-yard touchdown strike from Teddy to Charles Johnson. And then Sean Hill did a great job in the two-minute drill, getting the Vikings in position for a field goal right before halftime. That field goal was a 51-yarder by Blair Walsh. So I loved all of that. And then you also had interceptions by Mackenzie Alexander and Jayron Kearse. So I thought those were some things that you take away from the Cincinnati Bengals preseason game. Lots of positives. Another quality opponent the following week, this past Thursday night, the Vikings played in Seattle against the Seahawks at CenturyLink Field. Another quality team, a team that's been to the playoffs a bunch in the last few seasons. Of course, the story in that game was no Teddy. He was a surprise non-participant in the game. Sean Hill started. Had a nice showing, 10 completions, 129 yards, and one touchdown drive for Sean Hill and company. And then Joel Stave came in, and he did a good job in the two-minute drill right before halftime. And I think, though, the three most impressive parts, Nate, of that Seattle game, and I'll let you react to this, one was the pass rush. The Vikings had six sacks, four of them on Russell Wilson. Adam Thielen had four catches for 61 yards. And Marcus Sherrills had what wound up being the game-winning score on a pick six.
Yeah, I was starting with the pass rush on our end. You know, Seattle was one of the hottest offenses in the league at the end of last year. So if you just look at that, they couldn't really do much against us when it came to the pass because we were getting so much pressure on a quarterback that the Seahawks don't have to worry about quarterback pressure a lot because even if it's there, he can avoid it.
Yeah.
So that was impressive. It was good to see our studs play well.
Yes.
Everson had a sack. Anthony Barr had a sack. Linval had a sack. And it was Sendejo and Danielle Hunter
kind
combined,
of teamed up for, one,
combined
yeah.
for the fourth of Russell Wilson. So that was definitely good to see.
And then you love seeing Marcus Sherrills play well. He's going through a tough situation in his personal life with his brother, so you love seeing him return to the field and return to the end zone. Of course, Adam Thielen. Every year he's Mr. Mankato, and he was again this year, but now he's transferring that onto the field. So five catches this preseason for Adam Thielen, I believe, for 83 or 84 yards. So hopefully he can find the end zone. That'd be pretty cool. All right, who looks good? Thielen, five catches, 83 yards. Big third down grabs. He looks good this preseason. I think the Vikings cornerbacks look good this preseason, Nate. Only 47% completion rate allowed against Seattle last week. So I thought that was really a positive step for them.
And to take a positive out of what could have been a negative, Xavier Rhodes didn't play a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Had a hamstring situation, I believe it was. And if you look the week before, Terrence Newman didn't even travel to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's Trey Waynes getting a lot of reps. There's Mackenzie Alexander getting a lot of reps. And, you know, stat-wise, you didn't see a big difference, a big fall-off from the number ones to the number twos or even threes.
I agree. And, you know, corner is a position where it's very easy to not have enough good ones. And I think the Vikings have some depth there at least. At least they have guys that they can put on the field and feel pretty good about. They're developing. Trey Waynes and Mackenzie Alexander, by no means are they finished products yet. And neither is Xavier Rhodes for that matter. But those are all guys that you can put out there along with Captain and Terrence. So really some quality players and some good depth at corner for the Vikings, and I love that. The last thing that I'll say that's looked good, and we've already hit on it, is the pass rush. I said they had six against Seattle, and you detailed them a little bit, Nate, but they also had two in Cincinnati. And I really think that rushing the passer is a strength of this defense, not just from a production standpoint and total sack numbers, but just pressuring the quarterback and the different ways the Vikings can get that done. They can get it with double A gap pressure. They can get it with Harrison Smith off the edge. They can get it with three defensive ends on the field when you kick B-Rob inside and play Danielle Hunter at left defensive end. So a lot of different ways this team can get to the passer. I think that's been a strength of theirs under Mike Zimmer, but particularly this preseason.
So that's who's looked good and what we've seen from the preseason so far. What do you want to see more of in the next two preseason games?
Well, I think one thing is on the offensive line, you know, pass protection-wise, they took a big step forward against Seattle, so I love that. I want to see more steps forward there, keep improving that way, and then I think you want to see the run game improve. Now, the good news there is the Vikings are averaging 2.5 yards a carry in the preseason. That's not the good news. But the good news is Mike Zimmer was asked about this earlier in the week, and he sounded a little bit more optimistic about what is going on than maybe you and I can see. And, you know, he's talking about a one missed block here, a guy getting pushed into another guy there. Those are all things they can clean up. So I think that's why Zimmer feels good about it. He doesn't feel good that it's happened, but he sees it as something that is preventable or correctable, not something that they're going to have to work around all year. So want to see some more improvement from the offensive line. They've done a good job so far. Want to see him keep going. Another thing, Treadwell. I thought he really impressed in the first preseason game against Cincinnati. Then, of course, we had the quarterback situation kind of unfold the way it did in game two. Hopefully, we're better at quarterback for game three, and Treadwell can get some more looks because I really liked what I saw against Cincinnati. Shamar Stephen is a guy who stepped up. When Sharif Floyd couldn't practice and couldn't play, Shamar Stephen stepped up and really played well, so I'd like to see that continue. Obviously, would love to see Sharif Floyd back in action and running with the ones against the Chargers. But whether he can or can't, Shamar Stephan, in the reps he does get, I'd like to see him keep playing well because I really think he's come a long way. He only played in 5 games last year because he had an injury, so we didn't get a good look at him last year. We're getting a good look at him now, and it looks pretty good. Floyd and Kendricks, like to see both of them back. Neither of them played in Seattle as they're dealing with some injuries. Teddy, we want to see Teddy. Hopefully he's healthy, has a crisp first half against the Chargers. Then he can sit maybe for the rest of the preseason, stay healthy, get ready for the Tennessee Titans in Week 1. And lastly, kind of the hot topic going into training camp, Cordarrelle Patterson. Rick Spielman and Mike Zimmer, very bullish on Patterson, said he had a great offseason, looked good in the offseason program. Then he had that shoulder injury in training camp, so had some action limited once he had that shoulder injury, but now he's back. I'd like to see him get a few more reps and look good in these final 2 preseason games.
All right, now, Wobby, let's look at some position battles. Before we were going into training camp, we looked at some positions that fans could keep their eyes on, some competitions to see who gets a starting spot, who's the second string, stuff like that. So let's take a look at a few of those and how they're developing. So we'll start at safety.
Yeah, Sendejo's job to lose, I thought, heading into training camp. I know you and I kind of saw eye to eye on that, and I don't think anyone's really taken it from him yet. Still more time to go. Sendejo started the first preseason game. Then it was Michael Griffin who started against Seattle and had some good moments. So I think whoever starts in Game 3, which is on Sunday against the Chargers, that's probably a very good indication of who Zim is leaning toward, but I think that's a competition battle that will kind of rage on here for the final couple of weeks of the preseason before the Vikings have to head to Nashville and play the Titans. But I think you lean Sendejo right now, but I thought Griffin gave a good accounting of himself. Exum has been worked in there in practice in games. Anthony Harris a little bit banged up of late, and I think Jayron Kearse has a lot of potential but is still learning. A lot to learn in the Mike Zimmer defense, and Jayron's going through it for the first time, so you got to grant him a little bit of grace, but I think he's done some good things as well, including an interception in Cincinnati.
Let's go to the offensive side and start in the middle of the offensive line at center. John Sullivan and Joe Berger.
Yeah,
what
man.
Are you thinking there?
They've had a great battle, I think, all training camp, going back and forth with first and second team, both of them doing a good job. And I think the progress that the offensive line has made of late, which we talked about a few minutes ago, I think you give a lot of credit to John Sullivan and Joe Berger for their role in that. I think they've been key to that. But this competition has been kind of suspended of late because of the injury to Brandon Fusco, who was unable to practice or play. Hopefully he's going to be back in action on Sunday against the Chargers, but he hasn't played in a while, and so that has caused the Vikings to shift Berger to right guard, solidify Sully at center. So that's given Nick Easton and Zach Karen some more reps at center and guard, so that's good, but it's kind of suspended that Sully-Berger competition. But it has shed some light if you need more. I think if you follow the Vikings the last few years, you already know this, but it does shed some light on the roster value that Joe Berger gives you. Can be a backup or starting center, has been playing right guard with Fusco on the mend, and in Saturday's practice, played left guard when Alex Boone had the day off. So a guy who can play 3 positions, can back up at all 3 positions, Joe Berger has a lot of roster value.
And right tackle, it's a position we thought, you know, there was going to be a lot of competition for, but there was also a lot of depth if you would have asked us a month ago or 2 months ago. Now, that's not necessarily the case. I mean, at that point, you know, Phil Loadholt was still on the team. Mm-hmm. Mike Harris was still healthy. Things have kind of slimmed down a little bit, but there's still some good competition there.
Yeah, there is. It's Andre Smith and TJ Clemmings right now, and TJ has that equity that he built up as a 16-game starter plus the playoff game, so 17 starts at right tackle as a rookie. I mean, you learn a lot. There's a lot of equity that you gain by doing that. But Andre Smith also has some equity in this league and with Mike Zimmer. They were in Cincinnati together for a few years, and Andre Smith has been a starting caliber right tackle for a long time. So that's been a good battle. I think you probably tend to lean toward Andre Smith on this one, just kind of like you're leaning toward Andrew Sendejo at safety, but you don't rule anyone out quite yet. Still 2 preseason games to go, including the quote-unquote dress rehearsal against the Chargers on Sunday.
And finally, how many receivers do you think we'll keep?
Great question. Can't wait to see what it is. You know, last year it was 6. Some teams like to keep it at 5. I think the Vikings have great depth here, just like they do at corner. And I think, you know, when you look at the first 6, in my mind, Those are Stephon Diggs, Charles Johnson, Adam Thielen, Jarius Wright, Cordero Patterson, and Laquon Treadwell, of course. And so if the team keeps all six of those guys, you can't quite blame them. Can't blame them at all. And I think outside of Stephon Diggs and Charles Johnson, who really have been running with the ones consistently, the other four guys have just been rotating a lot. And I think that's okay. I think if you go into the season that way, that's okay too. It's less important who is the third guy. It's more important that you have two, three, or four guys who can be the third guy when you need them based on what you're asking them to do. If you're asking them to go down the field vertically, you might have one guy in there. If you're asking them to run intermediate or short routes across the middle of the field, you might have a different guy in there doing that. So I think the Vikings have a versatile group at wide receiver. It's young, it's athletic, and it's versatile.
One of those receivers you mentioned, Laquon Treadwell, will transition right into a rookie report of sorts. How is Laquon Treadwell looking?
Yeah, if I was going to like write a like a one-liner or two-liner report, this is what I would do on Treadwell. I'd say good route runner, good hands, strong, good after the catch, hard to tackle, wide catch radius. That would be my report so far on Laquon Treadwell. Really impressive in all those areas.
Second-round pick, Mackenzie Alexander.
Competitive. Wants all the reps he can get. I saw a situation in Cincinnati where he was basically begging to go out onto the field against some of the Bengals receivers. So competitive, wants all the reps, good ball skills, had that interception in Cincinnati, and looks like I termed it an immersive learner. And what I mean by that is he learns by jumping in and doing it and maybe making mistakes, but not making the same mistake twice and just throw the book at him because I think he can get it. I think his mind works fast. I think he's competitive. And so I think he's an immersive learner. I love that about Mackenzie Alexander.
A rookie that some of the coaches, it appears, have taken a liking to. I know we've taken a liking to. And a lot of fans have enjoyed having him on the team so far. David Morgan.
Yes. Took a question in the pick six this week who was like, David Morgan is the new Red Ellison. And I think that's a cool comparison. But Red Ellison is not gone. Red Ellison is getting back and getting healthy. And he's going to be a big-time player for us this year. But David Morgan has been great. Competes, toughness when in line as a blocker, and he's got hands like a wide receiver. Soft hands, good hands, makes a lot of catches that you see receivers making where he's not trapping it against his body, he's plucking it out of the air, and he's doing it while he's moving and moving quickly. So there's a lot to like about David Morgan.
Finally, the big guy in the defensive backfield, Jayron Kearse.
Yeah, lots to learn. Got a pick in game one. Love his size. Zimmer's Clay. I think this is a guy, he's a rookie, he's got great size, he's probably still raw, but I think a guy like Mike Zimmer can just mold him. So I think he's Zimmer's Clay.
All right, now moving on, San Diego here, U.S. Bank Stadium on Sunday.
Aren't you pumped?
I am excited. Yeah. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see, you know, actual football happening in the stadium, because now we've had concerts, we've had a soccer game,
right.
We've had all kinds of stuff.
We've
except
had tours,
for football.
We've had galas. Yeah, it's time
now,
for football.
Now it's real.
Yeah.
So what can we expect when San Diego comes to town?
Hopefully Teddy. I'd like to see Teddy play. That'd be great. Khalil, Fusco, Floyd, Kendricks, Xavier. See all those guys out on the field. Get some good work in against a good team and get out of there. That's what I think would be great to see. I'm excited to see the kickers in the new stadium. You know, I mean, they've had to adjust to playing at TCF Bank Stadium for the last 2 years. Now they get to go inside U.S. Bank Stadium. I know they've done a lot of studying, going down there and practicing, and they will do even more. So I'm excited to see those guys do it in an actual game. I'm excited, as you said, to just see the new stadium, see a game happen in there, see Vikings fans in there, watch fans enjoy that environment. Listen to PA call a game there. I just think the whole thing's going to be really cool on Sunday. And like I said, it's probably our last long look at the starters. I mean, I'm not really interested in seeing them play in game four. Are you?
No.
It's like 4 days later, fourth preseason game. Let's get those starters in and out on Sunday against the Chargers, and then let the fourth game kind of be an audition for all those fringe and bubble guys. That's it. That's it for the show. You got anything else?
No, that
okay.
is everything.
Let's close it up here. Remember, roster cutdown days are coming. So the teams have to be down to 75 players by August 30th, and then they have to be down to 53 games by September 3rd. So those are your two cutdown days. Hopefully Rick Spielman does not ask Nate or I to bring our playbooks up to his office on either of those 2 days. We'd like to stay around.
Hopefully there's no notes waiting for us
right.
in our locker.
No pink slips. Right. We don't want the Turk coming and seeing us. I wonder who our Turk is, by the way.
I don't know.
Not a great job.
Not me.
A job. It's not me either.
I can promise you that.
Not me either. All right, we'll be back next week with another Wobcast reaction from Game 3. We'll preview Game 4, and we'll even get into some regular season talk because it will be right around the corner at that point. On behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Wobshall, signing off for now from Twin Cities Orthopedic Studios at Winter Park. We'll talk to you soon. So